You are about to listen to an article by Kerry Kennedy, president of the Robert F. Kennedy Center for Justice and Human Rights, published with the title, The Missing Truth in the BP Oil Disaster. This article was written following the sending of a delegation to the Gulf Coast to assess the scope of the emerging healthcare crisis in the wake of this tragedy. This delegation was led by Kerry Kennedy and was hosted by community organizer Stephen Bradbury, recipient of the 2005 Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Award and executive director of the Alliance Institute. More than a year after a private company operating in public waters wretched 170 million gallons of crude and 2 million gallons of toxic dispersants into the Gulf of Mexico, creating an environmental catastrophe, we still lack reliable statistics on the BP oil disaster's impact on the health of residents. I recently spent several days traveling across the Gulf Coast region of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, speaking with fishermen, oystermen, shrimpers, restaurant workers, and neighbors about the illnesses they have suffered in the wake of this calamity. I couldn't help but think of the trip that my father, Robert Kennedy, made to the Mississippi Delta in 1967. That trip transformed him. He was horrified by the poverty, the children whose bellies were swollen with hunger. He believed we had a duty, as a nation, to relieve their suffering and soothe their pain. He returned to Washington determined to extend food stamps to the poorest Americans, despite a cash-strapped administration and an unyielding Congress. Today, the children and grandchildren of those very same families continue to suffer from the systemic governmental neglect, the debilitating heritage of communities, African American, Vietnamese, Laotian, Native American, and poor white, marginalized by skin color, religion, education level, income, or access to power. It is long past time for federal action. Our delegation was hosted by RFK Human Rights Award laureate Stephen Bradbury, executive director of the New Orleans-based Alliance Institute. Stephen has been a community organizer in New Orleans's Lower Ninth Ward and across the Gulf for 25 years, empowering communities to demand what is rightfully theirs. In Jean Lafitte, Louisiana, Mayor Tim Kerner told us that he and his son were on the water throughout the disaster. He said, "I encouraged everyone in this town to put out booms and work night and day to stop that oil from destroying our community. But now, so many of these people are ill, he's afraid his neighbors will say, 'We wouldn't have listened to you and kept our jobs if we knew it would kill us.'" With no access to a specialist in toxicology, Mayor Kerner is fearful that he, his son, his family and friends will suffer long-term impacts of exposure to the toxins that will be discovered in years to come. He wants his town to be diagnosed now, so they can get the medical treatment they deserve and avoid what might, in a few years, be a community-wide epidemic. Our delegation met with two brothers who had said their families had been fishing for five generations. Both they and their family members have endured excruciating lung, skin, and digestive tract ailments in the wake of the BP disaster. When one man's infant grandson ran a high fever, his daughter-in-law panicked and brought the child to the emergency room. Self-employed and uninsured, he faced a bill of $2,300. With shrimp yields the lowest in memory, he wonders how he will pay. From a community east of Coden, Alabama, the closest healthcare facility is more than 40 miles away. Public transportation is virtually non-existent. One resident told me, "We just can't afford to take a day off of work, pay for gas, and then pay up to $120 for a doctor's appointment." So people wait for the emergency room, and that is $260 each visit. In Biloxi, Mississippi, a fisherman named Quan said he was on a cleanup crew for BP, and he and his fellow fishermen have had rashes across their bodies ever since, which itch until they bleed. In that city, the healthcare facility is so overbooked, it takes up to 3 months for a doctor's appointment and the same wait for a follow-up visit. Catfisher Miller, another fisherman, also worked on the cleanup crew for BP. He was denied gloves, a respirator, eyewear, or any form of protective gear. He suffered searing headaches, ear infections, sores in his nose and throat, and bleeding from every orifice in his body for months on end. He said no doctor he went to would tie his ailments to toxic poisoning. Many of those who sought care have been belittled when they mentioned BP and dismissed as delusional or depressed. We heard dozens of people across the region talk about similar health problems and obstacles to care. There are many reasons. The full spectrum of chemicals used in the dispersants was made public in June 2011, only after requests consistently denied led to extensive litigation. Few doctors in the region are willing to tie ailments to BP or even diagnose toxic poisoning. When we visited the Jefferson County Healthcare Facility in Louisiana, Executive Director Yakima Black offered her insights. She pointed out that local doctors generally lack access to the expertise, training, and equipment to diagnose toxic poisoning, and they don't want to be called as an expert witness in a lawsuit with BP. They are afraid of malpractice suits and will not treat patients unless they have specialty training, adding to the disincentives to diagnose. And, with most patients self-employed and uninsured, few can afford the expensive tests and medicines necessary to show causation and obtain proper care. In addition, we heard an abundance of confusion about insurance coverage availability. Last year, President Barack Obama pledged that Gulf residents would be made whole. To honor that pledge, Congress must ensure that health care is adequate, affordable, proximate, and available. That healthcare workers are trained to diagnose, track, and treat toxic poisoning, and that the people of the Gulf are treated with respect, no matter what their background. There is a solution. Senator Edward M. Kennedy signed the first federal law providing community healthcare centers to people in need. Today, 23 million Americans depend on those centers for care. Under healthcare legislation passed last year, the centers would expand to include 40 million Americans, many of them in the Gulf Coast. If Republicans in Congress don't make real on their threat to decimate the progress that's already been made, the people of the Gulf might stand a chance. First responders to the 9/11 tragedy did not have to prove causation in order to get treatment. They only had to show they were in the vicinity of the terrorist attack. Similarly, the 150,000-strong cleanup crew who sacrificed themselves and their families and neighbors who live along the Gulf Coast should not have to prove that their symptoms are caused by BP's catastrophe, only that they were there. When I joined the RFK Center delegation to the Gulf Coast a year ago, Alabama Louise Bossarch cited President Obama's reference to the resiliency of Gulf Coast residents, who have endured 4 natural disasters and 1 man-made catastrophe in 5 years. Hurricanes Katrina, Rita, Gustav, Ivan, and now BP. "We are resilient," she said. "We always bounce back. Bouncing hurts." It's time for us to provide the families of the Gulf Coast with the health care they deserve. You have just listened to an article by Kerry Kennedy, president of the Robert F. Kennedy Center for Justice and Human Rights, published on August 10, 2011 by, among others, Interpress Service or The Huffington Post. A shorter version of this post appeared first in the New Orleans Times Picayune of August 6, 2011, as an op-ed written by Ms. Kennedy addressing the lack of reliable statistics on the health impact of the BP disaster and the need for better access to healthcare in the region. For more information on economic and social rights, as well as on the economic crisis and deflation, you can visit Equipos Niscor's related web pages. This program has been prepared and produced by Radio Niscor at our studios in Belgium on August 17, 2011.